Boy, it's a joy to be here tonight. We got a good group here tonight, amen? One preacher said there's no place like this place, near this place, so this must be the place. I think it is. It's so good. We have just thoroughly enjoyed our time here so far. Man, you guys have spoiled us rotten. And it keeps going on. We're going to Ritter's after church tonight, amen? That's good stuff. I live in Daytona Beach just to go to Ritter's, amen? But it's been good. We have, we've got Kathy Lowry opened her house to us, and we are so grateful. We have thoroughly enjoyed that and just felt right at home, literally. Thank you so much. And we've gotten tickets to SeaWorld, and someone unbelievably wrote a check to buy us tires for we needed tires for our Jeep back in the Dominican. Somebody wrote us a check to buy the tire, praise the Lord. Boy, people have given us money, and I mean, it's just been amazing. You know, we really don't deserve all of this, but we appreciate it. We really, really do. And we have just enjoyed our time. We've enjoyed the groups that have come down, Mike Kesey and the other groups, and Mike and Debbie have hosted us while we've been here, and they've been so gracious. I mean, I'm scared to even mention anything to them, because if you say it, they're going to do it, so it's better just not to say anything, amen? We've enjoyed the groups come down. Every time a group has come down, God has just blessed in a tremendous way. We've seen many souls saved, and lives have been impacted, and we have just felt a bond. And we said the other night that we, you know, a lot of churches support us, but there's certain churches that you just feel connected to, and you guys are one of those churches. And count it a privilege to be partners with you in the gospel. Amen. Amen. And we mean that because you have helped us in so many ways over the years, and just the encouragement and the prayers, and of course the financial support. And that's been going on since 1997. Imagine that. So that is a tremendous blessing. And we are thrilled. We're thrilled our kids could come and meet. When we came the first time, we didn't have kids. So our kids get to come and meet you folks and see what God is doing in this place. And every time we come back, there's a new building, and something's happened, and something's growing, and we want you to understand, and I want to say this again, we cannot do what we're doing without you. Now, see, when you understand that, then there's no superheroes, you know, because it's a team effort. We're all in this together. And I was thinking today, Brother Dan, I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if Dan and Denise came down to the Dominican Republic to work with us together. Man, we would get along so great. And I thought, no, God needs him in Daytona. Because if you don't have what you have here, we can't do what we're doing over there. And unless God calls you. Now, if he calls you, man, we're on. Whew, we'll have a great time. Yeah. But that's the truth. You are so important to the missionary effort. If the local church is not strong and doing the job here, then we can't do what we need to do over there. And it's a great thing. Co-laborers together with Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We went to the field April the 15th, tax day. Amen? April the 15th, 1999. We spent a year in Costa Rica, but prior to that, in language school. We got to the Dominican, and immediately we wanted to try to reach people for Christ, and my Spanish was horrific, and I said, well, I'm going to try anyway, and I had some chick tracks in Spanish, and I started witnessing to folks and sharing the gospel that way, and at the end there's a prayer, and I'd have them sit down and just read the track, and I'd sit there and watch them read the thing. Then when we got done, I'd say, hey, what do you think? Oh, that's a good story. I said, but there's a decision you need to make. What do you think? And they said, yes, I'd like to. And we started winning folks to Christ that way and started a Bible study in our home. And Make a long story short, January 9th, 2000, we started the Abundant Life Baptist Church right in La Vega, right in the middle of the Dominican Republic. And God has blessed over these 12 years just amazing things. Our first service, we really blew the doors off. We worked and we prayed, and we had 26 in church. Amen. And then the following week, we grew to 10. Amen. And I can remember many times getting up and preaching. Boy, man, I'd get up and preach. And my wife would say, amen. One time we took the offering and got the offering back. And I said, man, that's all that we got today? She said, well, honey, if you put more in, we've gotten more out. It was rough going early on, but God has blessed. So many ministries have been started. We have a men's ministry on Saturday morning that God has allowed us to try to build men and build leaders. If you know anything, Hispanic culture, that's a challenge. But God has worked tremendously, and God is building men. We have a youth ministry, and that has grown over the years. And God has called 5 young men to preach, and those young men are now training in our Bible Institute. This semester, we had 21 people sign up for a Bible Institute, and praise the Lord for that. And we have an unbelievable, dynamic children's ministry that my wife oversees, and she just has a heart for these kids. And you should see them. When they first started coming in, they'd come in barefoot and dirty and filthy and smell like they hadn't taken a bath for a week. But boy, if you could see those kids and the life, the changes in their lives and what God's doing, kids that are just mistreated and not cared for. Our church is a mix of everybody. We have, if you know anything about Dominicans, they don't get along with Haitians very well and vice versa. But in our church, we have Dominicans and Haitians. We have guys from the drug rehab. We have the little kids coming in, poor as can be. We have professionals. We have it all. And I believe James teaches that in the book of James. That's the right kind of church. Amen? We just need to reach everybody. So God's blessed, and we've had great days, and we've had tough days. Amen? God, things have gone wonderfully. Ladies' ministry, and we could go on and on, just so many things. Over the years, boy, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands. It's maybe not quite there, but we're heading up towards the million mark on gospel literature between Bibles and tracts and Bible lessons. And over these 12 years, we have just saturated our city over and over and over with the book of Romans and John, with chick tracts, with God's simple plan of salvation, and anything you can think of. We have just, and your groups have come down and been a part of that. They've been on the ground troops, handing out those tracts, and God has just, so God is working. Our 10th anniversary, we really prayed for a great day. And I'm not big on setting number goals in our church and attendance and that kind of thing, but I felt like our 10th year anniversary, God really wanted to do something special. And we fasted and prayed and challenged our people, and God put on our heart, I believe, a number that was way bigger than us. And we prayed, and that day came, and the Lord blessed. We had 597 in church. We had 4 services going at the same time. One was in the street. We had permission, amen. And then we had another one on the basketball court, and kids in the back, and 200 adults crammed into our little auditorium. And the Lord blessed. I think we had 54 people saved that day. And God's just doing great things, amen. Now, it comes with a price, amen? And the price is faithfulness, and the price is sacrifice at times of, I say sacrifice, not really sacrifice, we don't look at it as sacrifice, but you know, doing without some of those things that you get used to, like chocolate pudding, amen? You know? and Cool Whip, amen? But God's been so good, and we find ourselves now in a building program praying that the Lord will get us through this thing and renovate this house into a church building. Amen? and put in parking. And so just be in prayer with us. God is doing so many things, and we give him all the glory. Let's get into the Bible. Amen. Now, Pastor Dan said I could preach to about 10. Now, you'd be leaving about 8:30, but I could stay and preach as long as I... No, he didn't say that. I'm just kidding. Okay. I need to... I can't see the... Is it... I can't see that clock very well. That's not good news for you all. I literally preach an hour every Sunday. I'm not kidding you. So... I'm going to do this as quickly as possible. Amen. We got to get the Ritters. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Very simple message tonight. When you get there, just kind of look at me and go ask the Lord to bless tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it's a privilege to be here tonight. And Lord, you know, without you, we're nothing. We're just the messenger. You're the one who deserves all the glory. God, you didn't call us to be celebrities. You called us to be servants. And Lord, we want to be a servant tonight. We want you to use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Tonight I want to speak about God's simple strategy for impacting the world for Jesus Christ. God's simple strategy. You know, sometimes we just complicate things, don't we? We just make things so difficult and so hard. And here in Matthew chapter 5, I think Jesus just made it so simple for us to understand. If you want to make a difference for Christ, if we could just see it the way that Jesus presented it in this passage. First, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, and then he says we are the light of the world. The salt and the light. Now notice it says here, ye are the salt of the earth. It does not say, pray about becoming the salt and the light. It does not say, you can be the salt and the light. It doesn't say, you should be. It does not say, one day you will be. What it says is, ye are. Right now, right here, right now, ye are. Whether you want to be or not, that's what you is. That's what you are, folks. You're the light. You're the salt. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, and I know I've been guilty of this so many times. I read things, and I, you know, it kind of registers, but we just go on, and we keep reading. And we never take time to stop and really think about what it's saying. So tonight, I'd just like to do that. When you read something so simple, do you ever stop to really think, what in the world would Jesus say? Ye are the salt of the world. Well, let's consider that. Ye are the salt of the world. Let's think about salt. Have you ever sat down and thought about salt? Probably not. We're going to do that tonight. First of all, salt prevents corruption and deterioration. Isn't that true? I think what Jesus was saying that when he said this was, you need to understand that I have placed you here on the earth to hold back the evil. Boy, that's a great responsibility, isn't it? I mean, we are here to really keep things from going off the cliff. And you excuse me for using a personal testimony, but I remember one time I was working, and I had a boss, and I used to work in sales, and he came to me one day, and he said, "Steve, you know, our distributor gives us a huge discount for doing residential projects, and we really need to stock the warehouse. So what I want you to do is I want you to call the distributor, and I want to tell him that we're bidding on this huge residential project, and we're going to need so many units for this project. Now, on a job like that, they give us a huge discount." Well, he said, "And then have them ship it here, and we'll just stock the warehouse." I looked at him. I said, "Scott, if you tell me to scrub the bathroom floor, I'll do it. But you and I both know that I'm a Christian, and it ain't going to happen." He cursed me out, threw me out of his office. I said, "That's it. Oof, I'm done." But you know what? He didn't get rid of me. I felt like that day I had a responsibility, amen, to be sought, to hold back a little bit of corruption. And every one of us have that responsibility. We don't have to be rude and unkind. We just need to stand for what's right. Salt prevents corruption and deterioration. Salt gives flavor. Have you ever eaten grits without salt? Now, I love grits. My mother was from Atlanta, Georgia, amen. Now, I'm from Maryland, can you tell? But my mother was from Atlanta, Georgia. We ate grits a lot. But I never ate grits without salt, amen. Jesus said, "I'm putting you," and I believe this is what he said, "I'm putting you here on the earth that to give flavor to the earth." And what kind of flavor? Righteous flavor. Amen? Joyful flavor. Happy flavor. Contentment flavor. So I want you to give a flavor to the world. Salt creates thirst. Any farmers here? Dairy farmers? Used to live on a dairy farm. Any of you seen a cow before? Okay. Okay, just check it. Okay, I thought maybe I was in the wrong universe or something. You know how you get a cow to drink? They have these things called salt licks. A big block of salt. They get the cow to lick the salt. And then all of a sudden, the cow's thirsty. And he goes right over and starts drinking. I think maybe Jesus was saying that, you know what? I'm putting you here on the earth so that you will create a thirst in the souls of unsaved people. Now, how does God do that? I think when God saves us, he changes us. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something happens, something changes, and people look at our lives and they say, "Man, I remember who you were, and look who you are now. Can you tell me what happened?" You know, people are just watching your life. Do you realize that? And if you're living the way Jesus wants you to live, it will create a thirst, a hunger in their soul. Man, you know, you just lost a loved one, but I know you're struggling, but man, you're just so peaceful and calm. Why? And it gives us an opportunity to share Christ. It creates a thirst. Is your life creating a thirst? I mean, do your neighbors say, "Man, I don't know what's about him, but man, I want what he's got"? Or do they say, "Oh, another Christian. Whew." Thirst. The fourth thing is salt. Now listen to this. This is very important. Salt needs contact. That's profound, isn't it? salt needs contact. You know what? Salt is no good if it's sitting in the shaker. Oh, look at that salt. Isn't it beautiful? And especially if it's, Jesus, if it's lost its savor, if it doesn't, the flavor's gone, it's not good for anything. Might as well throw it out and people just trample all over it. What was Jesus saying when he said, you're the salt of the world? I think he was saying, if you're going to make a difference, you've got to make contact. What I'm trying to say is, you know, Christians, we've got to get out of our holy huddles. And we got to go play the game. We got to get out there where the sinners are. And we've got to make contact with them. And we've got to talk to them. And we've got to share what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. We don't have to jam it down people's throat. No, we just, man, it ought to be so real. It ought to be so so much a part of who we are. We just can't help but tell. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Ooh, yes. Salt needs contact. And so, you know, I've been in the Baptist church for a long time. And more, we're kind of just coming, drawing up the wagons, circling the wagons, and we're pulling in, and we're saying, ooh, the world's terrible, it's so wicked, you know. And it is. But we're not going to make a difference just sitting in here and saying, hallelujah. We got to go out there and say, repent. Come to Christ. He loves you. He wants to save you from your sin. Ye are the salt of the world. Then Jesus said, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Now let's consider light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Boy, I like that word, so shine. Amen. Before men, that they may see your good works. Well, I thought we weren't supposed to do works in front of people. Well, what he's saying here is, we aren't supposed to do good works to be seen for our own glory. We're supposed to do good works so that he gets the glory. Amen? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Think about light. Light, first of all, dissipates the darkness. The more light, the less darkness. I wonder sometimes why there's so much darkness in the world. Could it be that the Christians just aren't shining? Oh my. Like we should. Light dissipates the darkness. Number two, light draws attention. Light has to be seen. Jesus said, you know, doesn't it make sense? You light a candle, you sit on the hill, you want everybody to see it. Light has to be seen. Light draws attention. Have you ever seen a car sale? Car industry, and they have these big beam lights that shine up in the sky. Maybe they don't do that in Daytona, I don't know. But where I'm from, they do. And they take these lights and they cross them like this. You know, and you think, oh my, World War III. We're going to be bombed. No, it's just the car sale. And they're flashing. Why are they doing it? Why do they put these beams up in the air and they're waving them back? And you know why? Why? They're trying to draw attention. We, as the light of the world, we ought to be drawing attention. Not to us, but to Jesus. Woo! Look at Jesus! Amen? Soul. Number three, light gives direction. You know what? People are wandering around lost as can be. And many people are searching for something. You know what they need? Some direction. You know who can give it? Jesus. But he put us here in his place. He said, I'm the light of the world. But just before he left, he said, guess what, guys? You're the light of the world. We have the responsibility, we have the privilege of giving direction, leading men to Jesus Christ. They won't find him on their own. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 very quickly. We've got to hurry. We've got to finish. Romans chapter 10, very quickly. Look at this passage. Romans 10, and you know this verse, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. But look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know what he's saying? Somebody's got to give them direction. They don't know where they're going. Somebody has to tell them. Someone has to show them. Someone has to explain to them that they are a sinner and that Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came to earth, died on a cross, was buried, and rose again to set them free from their sin. Woo, there's hope in Jesus. And we have the job of giving direction to people. Amen? And the last thing. Light can shine a long way. Do you ever think about that? I've driven on some long roads before. Indiana. Ohio. And sometimes you see this light and you think, oh, well, we're almost close. And you're driving, and you're driving. You know what I'm saying? You drive. Man, are we ever going to get to that light? You know, light shines a long way. That's what you're doing in your missions program. Your light shining a long way. Phew, isn't that great? And the brighter the light shines at home, the farther it will shine out there. If the light dims here, the light certainly will dim out there. Boy, it's important to understand that. I think what Jesus was saying, we need to stop thinking safe. And we need to start thinking save. Did you get that? We need to stop thinking safe. Well, if we do that, you know, people will think we're kind of radical. Have you ever read the book of Acts? Radical! Expansion, explosion, impact, multiplication. What in the world would happen if everybody at Crossroads Baptist Church this week, for the rest of the time till Sunday, lived like salt and lived like light? Just 1 week. Whew. What a difference it would make. I think what Jesus was saying, when you sum it all up, was shake the salt and shine the light. Shake the salt and shine the light. Shake the salt and shine the light. And you'll reach the world for him.